God is good all the time. Many years ago, visited a famous cathedral in Europe. As he admired this impressive structure, he noted that there's a stone mason working on a piece of stone. Curious, he asked, "What are you doing?" The mason replied, "I'm shaping this stone for a place up there." The tourist looked up. There was no visible opening how the stone could place up there. Yet the mason continued carefully chiseling and shaping the stone according to the design that only the master builder could see. You see, that is the beautiful picture of what Christian life is about. Now, many believers today wonder, where do I belong? Who am I? What is God's purpose for my life? Sometimes they felt lost, maybe insignificant, wonder whether their life truly matter. Now, without us knowing, the master builder, God is at work in us, and we are all his work in progress. Peter was writing to Christians who felt that way in their lifetime in 1 Peter. Let's look at how the word of Peter bring comforts and encouragement to them. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to 12, Peter said this, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone that builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who calls you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desire which wage war against your soul. Live such good life among the pagans that though they accuse you for doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." You see, this believer came to faith in Christ, and as a result, they were rejected by their own community, own society. Some are suspicious of what they are doing. Some go to the extent to persecute them, causing them trouble. And some of the believers could even die because of their faith. Peter didn't reach out to them. these believers by telling them how to fight for their rights again, how to stand up for what they supposed to have. They unfortunately lost everything, but they should gain it back. No, Peter instead come to point them back to Christ. They are founded in Christ, the living stone, and with that three wonderful truths, and that they belong to a new household, they have now a new identity, and they are called to live a new lifestyle, a new household. Peter began by saying that, as you come to him, how did they come to him? Earlier on, Peter told them that they came to Jesus Christ through a new birth. And that new birth bring them into a new life. And this new life require that their mind to be renewed and changed so that they live into this new life. Their old has gone, the new has come. And the mind need to constantly change. And the most important thing for them to change is that they must be like babies, crave the pure spiritual milk. And so that by the good intake of the pure spiritual milk, which is the word of God, they may grow up with it. You see, our mind is influenced by what we read, what we see, and what we think. And if we continue the old mindset, we can never grow up in the new life. We need to flush our old mindset out with the word of God, with the pure word of God. Otherwise, anyone who born into the new life may not grow. You can be here in church, but your spirit is not here. Your spirit is somewhere else. So Peter said that as you come to him with this new life, new mind, and this him that he mentioned is the living stone. You see that Peter called Jesus the living stone. You see, stone are always dead, but Jesus is the living stone. Because Jesus is the one that who's rejected, crucified, buried, but raised to life again. He's just not died and gone, but he came back to life. So he's that living stone that where the builder had rejected and now become the chief cornerstone. The builder rejected him, but God chose him. The world discarded Jesus, but God declared him precious. The chief cornerstone is very important as a foundation to erect the beautiful or majestic structure. As an illustration, let me show you Washington Monument. It is 555 feet tall. It's about 50 story high. When they begin to build this monument, they lay a foundation stone. It's a white marble weighing about 24,500 pounds into, unfortunately, a shaky and not secure foundation. There were good. There was grand fanfare at the time of 1848. But the site that they chosen was a meshy ground, you know, swampy ground, something like that. And as a result, they were building about one third on the way. They discovered that actually the structure was tilting. And partly due to lack of fund, and they waited for many years. Eventually, the foundation was reinforced by the concrete foundation base of 126 feet square and 36 feet deep in 1880. 126 is about 2.5 times this size. Okay. Can you imagine the foundation to, in order to support the structure, majestic looking Washington monument. Jesus is the foundation stone that will build up the majestic house of God. But he's not a dead stone. He is a living stone. So in Christ, we have a new house. Then Peter told the believer then, you also like living stones. You are also like living stone. You are not the stone that all by yourself. They are scattered. See, this believer at that time, the scattered fine, but you are not. Peter said that you are not the stone that left alone in the field. You are the living stone that was slowly built up by God. Because they themselves, as the world rejected Christ, they also were rejected. But they are found precious in the eyes of God. And God is the one that are building them up. God is building that spiritual house, piece by piece, of this individual believer. And they are like the stone that slowly form down. It's a very pictorial, but I be sure that you understand. Individually are building up the house. But the most important point that you maybe have to notice is God is building up piece by piece. A lot of hard work. Yeah. A lot of hard work. It's like the mansions chiseling off and making that show that every piece fit into the place. Some of us are old parents. They came from elsewhere. When they come to Malaysia, they're going to build the house. And it's tough. It's not easy. And you slowly build the house and ensure everything is needed in the house slowly being purchased because they came from far and then settled down in Malaysia. Now, I remember my parents and seven of us stay in just one room when I was young. I do not remember any furniture. I do not know how my older sibling study. They have been in school. I don't have any furniture. How they sit down and study. But I remember my mother is a very creative person. I have this as my table. Apple carton box. In those days, apple carton box are very strong. If you put the bottom and the top together, it is a very strong shape. And a small boy can easily stretch his leg into the carton box. If you play this way, and a nice make-do table. Carton box might be insignificant, not very valuable, but it's useful if it plays by the one who built the house a step at a time. And that's how God building it. God is building the house slowly. Every believer have a place in their house. Every believer matters. The master builder make no mistake. Everyone are required to make up the house. So together as believer, as a living stone, eventually will be built as the temple of God. You see, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God will only dwell in the temple of God. But in the New Testament, the believer together is the temple of God and where the Spirit of God dwells. And they were building up to be a holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifice. No longer they offer animal sacrifice like the Old Testament. Peter is telling them, in the new covenant, we offer ourselves. Romans say that, Paul said it in Romans, we offer our body as a living sacrifice. And we offer our praise as the offering. We offer our service as an offering. We offer, of course, including the monetary gift as the offering. So we are a new household now, where Christ, the living stone, which is the chief cornerstone, and where individual believer then become the little stones that slowly build up in this living house, where finally God is the one who dwell in this place. After describing to them that this is where they belong, each one and every one of them, Peter came to move to tell them that they have a new identity in this new household. And he told them that you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. If you notice this term carefully, these are actually the terms or title that apply to Israel in the Old Testament. Peter now is using this title to apply to the believer now in Christ. And you notice that all the description of this title speaking about belonging. Belonging to what? They are now a chosen race, not because they are good, not because they deserve it, but because God loved them and God chose them. And they are a royal priesthood. In the Old Testament, only the priest can enter into the holy and holy and to be offering the sacrifices on behalf of the people. But in the New Testament now, everyone have the privilege and opportunity to come to God. God has given every believer a direct access to Him in their holy nation. They belong to God's kingdom. They may be in the world, but they are not of the world. They are not belong to any kingdom. They are citizens of God's kingdom. Their ultimate allegiance is to God. Of course, they are God's special possession. They belong to God. They belong to God Himself. You know, belonging to somebody, owned by somebody, may sound very negative. But you think about the owner of animal lovers. The way they sometimes they treat their animals, I felt that their life, the dog life, is better than my life. And you can be sure the owner loved them so much. Sometimes they even address themselves as Papa Mama to the animal. You know? And you can be certain if the animals are sick, and even the middle of the night, they will not get Dr. Call clinic to wake him up to treat the dog. So, all this belonging point to God's love over them. And Peter said that it's for them then to declare the praises of Him, that to bring them out of darkness into the marvelous light. I don't know whether you sense it. Before you become a Christian, after you become a Christian, do you see that suddenly the light that you live in is so clear? You know why and you know the purpose to some extent, maybe not the entire, but you have seen the light. And God's saying that the new identity is for them to declare that praises of Him. Because once they were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Without God, you're not any people. You have no mercy, received no mercy. But now with God, you belong to God and you have received mercy. So as people that being built by God Himself, as people that belong to God, Peter now moves on from this identity that they have to conduct. He said it to them, "Beloved, I urge you as foreigner and exile." See, Peter again stressed that they are just strangers in the world. They shouldn't feel comfortable. They should look forward to the eternal home eventually that they should return to. Peter emphasize to this itself. They belong to God. They belong to God. And as soon as they belong to God, they should be holy. Be holy means set apart. Means that they are dedicated themselves to God. Believer in the new covenant already considered holy because they are called saint. You know, saint means holy. God had given the holiness to the new birth, all they need to then now is live out the holiness. Live out the holiness by doing things that is right and abstain from doing things that of the past. Abstain from sinful desire which has waged war against your soul. They should not be continue with the passion of the flesh they have. Early on, Peter said that, do not conform any longer to the evil desire you once have. Now you are into the new life. And how can they do that? They can only do that with the Spirit. The Bible says that they walk by the Spirit. And the Spirit comes from the Word of God. Because the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. So it's so important that we really know the Word of God. Because the Word of God will give us the power against the flesh. You want to walk by the Spirit? You learn about the Word of God. How do you walk by the Spirit? You listen to the Word of God. You obey. You follow. And Peter said that live such good life. Live such good life. Your life is so good that it becomes so honorable and noticeable by your friends. And do you know that what he meant by live such good life? Peter was meaning, if you read down the next few chapters, Peter is talking about submission. Submit to authority. Submit to the master. Submit to your husband. And the husband, love your wife, considerate over her. Peter talked about suffering. Suffering even when you are doing good. Peter was talking about humble. Oh, live such good life. And the reason behind, of course, you must live such a life so that others may glorify God. So the new lifestyle itself, the new lifestyle itself, Peter saying that you are constantly being watched. It's true. As suddenly that they kind of come out from their community, and these believers are being watched by others. What is this guy doing, man? He went out of mind, he gone crazy. Those who are not a believer definitely may not understand what their belief is, but they cannot miss how godly they live their life. They cannot miss how right they live their life. The new lifestyle itself is a weakness, isn't it? Many non-believing friend we have, or relative we have, they have never attended the church. It's so hard to invite them. I invited my brother once, my older brothers, they have not become a Christian. And he never returned. So some may not even attend the church. They never read a Christian book, but they are watching us. They watch how we relate to our spouse. They watch how we take care of our aged parent. They watch how we handle money. And they watch how we respond when we are mistreated or we are offended. They watch how we conduct our business. In many cases, our life is the first sermon they ever hear. Peter is not calling us to perfections. He's calling us to live a life that visibly different. Visibly different. So that others, when they see it, they know, wow, this is a changed life. But the changed life is not to attract attention to ourselves. A changed life that in this new lifestyle that as a weakness shall point others to Christ. Our good work doesn't save us. If you are not yet a believer, do you know that Christians do not need to do good work Many times I say that all religion is the same, teaching about good work. Actually, the Bible never said that you need to do good work. You did not do good work to be saved. We are saved by grace of God. We are saved by the mercy of God. We do not need to do good work. So nice, right? But we do. We did it because the good work make the gospel of Jesus Christ visible. We did it because out of gratitude to a good God. So, Peter, believer, was truly founded on the living stone, and that God is building up. The world of Peter readers ask these three questions as well. Where do I belong? Who am I? How should I live? And Peter pointed them to Christ. They belong to a new household built with Christ at the foundation. They have a new identity. They lost their position. They lost their maybe even status. Or they maybe lost their job. But they have a new identity in Christ. And they are then to live on the new lifestyle. To them, the believer at that time, they receive it with joy. Because to them, Christ has redeemed them. And Christ is truly their home now. Because they suffered. They have lost almost everything. And now, it's really a good news. Wow, I lost my family now, but I have belong to a new family now. I lost my job, my position, my title maybe. Now I have a new title. Wow, I'm a royal, no. I'm a royalty, okay? Royal priesthood. And to them, Christ is precious. He asked them to give up. Under suffering, under persecution, they are not going to give up. To them, Christ is precious because they believe. They believe. They believe what the gospel that came to them. They believe what Peter said and obey. They believe and obey. I think the reason behind their belief, Peter said it earlier, because they love him. They love Jesus. Though they did not see him, they love Jesus. Because they love him, they are prepared to be changed. They are prepared to be holy. They are prepared to be renewed. They want to live in this new life. They want to grow in this new life. That desire comes from love. If you don't have the love, you can be here. But your desire is not on the word of God. You are not on how I will be built up by God. We also are like the living stones. And we are also, in that sense, coming to Christ as a minority in this community. We have kind of been questioned by those who know us. They wonder what we are doing. So do you sometimes, as a result, that you can't join certain activity with your friend or your family gathering? Do you feel sometimes like outsider, lonely, lost? And you struggle with all this. And Peter reminds us, no, you are not the loose stone. You belong to God that who building us up. We are work in progress. The master builder knows exactly where you belong. Christianity is not mere Jesus Christ and me. Someone actually call me and ask me, can I become a Christian? And but then I stay at home. I can read the Bible. I can now watch the sermon online. And I can even sing praises to the attend some online churches. But Christianity is not this. God placed us together in the body of God's family. So it is important to come to the church and commit to the church. Build relationship in the church and with one another and serve. And encourage and support, of course, one another. A stone that separated from the building can never fulfill its purpose, isn't it? But remember all the time, we are being built. We are not required to build into this church. God is building us. We all need to learn how to come to God. We need to know our identity in God. Our new and true identity. You see, Asians, we love to ask one another maybe these questions, no? What's the result you have in school? Or what university are you studying? Or what job, what career you have? You see, we often identify identity with achievement. We idolize, he's a lawyer, he's a doctor, he's an engineer, or he's a successful businessman. We talk highly on all this. It's not that these are no good. But if we have identity only on achievement, but what happened when the business failed? What happened that we lost our job? What happened when illness struck? That all that we are dependent on will be gone. See, our identity is not what we do. Our identity is who we belong. That's what Peter said. Who we belong. He told the believer at that time, who you belong, that is eternal and eternity. What you have is temporal. Our achievement or salary, big salary or educations, or even our children's success. Sometimes parents will depend on children and feel that, our children are successful, feel so good. It does not define us. What defines us is the mercy of God on us, the grace of God. That God has made us His own. We are eternally safe in Him. When we have this clear picture of understanding our identity, we will have the security, because otherwise everything is temporal. We won't feel safe. But when we belong to God, He will take care of us. Definitely better than animal lovers are. We need not to prove ourselves. We need not to try to achieve something ourselves. So come to God. As you come to Him, Peter said, come to God. Be founded on the living stone. Be built up by the living stone. Live such good life. Such good life require a little bit of effort on us for sure. And that effort is that we really have to abstain from the old thing. We need to change. And that good life, we really need to change. And this truth can only be achieved when we believe what God said in the Bible. And we are prepared to obey and change. And again, we could only believe and obey because we love. Do you remember how you feel when you fall in love? Or do you notice how the young people that fall in love, how they look like? Oh, they are changed. Right? They became beautiful. They changed to look handsome and beautiful for one another. Because of love. You see, this believer, they knew Christ loved them. Christ loved them by dying on the cross for them. They cannot imagine how their life worth the King of Kings and God of Gods to die for them. So they truly believe it must be love. So without seeing Christ, they know Christ loved them. And as a result, they could love Christ in return. How about you and I? Are you in love with Christ? So that you could submit. So that you're prepared to suffer. So that you're prepared to surrender your life to the God that's so amazing. Let us pray. Dear God and Father, we know you are God that who are good and great to us. You call us to be your witnesses in this world, in this last age. You have given us a new birth, a new life, and a new mind. And at the same time, the new household and new identity. So that we can live in the kingdom of your life. Lord, we pray. At the same time, you help us to be convicted of this truth and to be able to feel the love, Lord, that you have freely given us. So, God, we will love you in return. And all that we will be doing is then the exhibitions of our love to you. So that whatever we do will glorify your name. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.